So all that to say, I've got two big bags of candy now that I have to eat. Have to. What choice do I have?
Audio
Nice. I've been recording this whole time.
Great. Well, we'll just make an opener of just you talking to yourself.
Just me talking to myself. Oh, yeah. Thank you for your question. Yes, thank you. I am a writer.
Well, for starters, welcome home, Mafo.
Thank you. Yeah, it's so good to be back.
I don't think that it's controversial for me to say that you came back to America at a weird time.
We did, but the overwhelming appeal of y'all and just the
Aww.
people in our lives and our home was too much to resist.
Hell yes. We made the pro list, Jack.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, definitely on the long pro list of having you back is our ability to be making things a bit more often.
Yeah.
I love the beautiful irony that we are in three locations recording this over the internet together right now.
But all in the same time zone.
But somehow it's easier knowing that the internet's not going as far.
That's right. That's right. No doubt the turnaround for the data is a little faster.
I mean, is it though? I mean, because it still has to go to space and then come back to Earth.
But not as far back. No. Space is equally far away no matter what. Ugh.
I'm sure there are some data analysts who can probably get in the comments and tell us.
Well, I can already tell them this is not going to be the basic pitch for them. Scientifically unsound is the name of the game
All right.
today. Well, on a just production-related note, I mean, one, we're planning on being here doing basic pitches a little bit more often now that we
Woo!
have the luxury of
Yes.
being in the same time zone. And also, we have a date on the calendar for recording the season finale of Starship Mudskipper. So that's
Finally.
some other good news. You did great, Jack. I
I was
really enjoyed
very proud of
Yeah.
the way that I don't want to say wrap everything up, more like what's a metaphor where you like just jam a whole bunch of things together, like an explosive
Wrangle, kind of, yeah.
An explosive?
You really bouillabaised it all into one thing.
I turduckened it. I took all the
I mean,
stories that we
yes.
had, I mixed them together, put them in a pot, and once we're done eating it, we're going to use the leftovers for gumbo.
Beautiful. Look, we are hitting appropriate topics across the board for the basic pitch that I have in mind today. So, speaking of improbable sci-fi and Louisiana.
All right, I like that combination of things.
Oh, wait, is this going to be Hurricator?
It's Hurricator.
It's
Yes. I love that you saw it
Oh,
coming,
you have been
which
teasing it for
it only
years.
it
Okay.
proves how much I harp on this. And Matthew in particular knows, and you know this too, Jack. Like, we've all been tour guides at various points. And when you are a tour guide, or when you're really like a person in the talking professions at all, you have stock jokes that you go back to occasionally. And the idea of the movie Sharknado versus Hurricator has been one of my stock jokes for years. And I pulled it in our last basic pitch, which was also shark themed. It's just a thing that I really think should have happened. And I thought so without ever having seen Sharknado. But now that I have done the wiki dive to learn a
Yeah.
little bit more about it, I actually even more so think that it's a really good idea. And I chanced to find a photo, which I'm going to send to you right now.
Ooh.
So take a moment to look at your texts and.
Oh my gosh. If I didn't
Oh,
already
yeah.
have a healthy fear of alligators, which anyone who knows me really well knows that I am terrified because alligators are apex predators, dinosaurs that haven't bothered to evolve in 10 billion years.
Haven't needed to.
Yeah, they already got the perfect form. Okay, can I
Yep.
describe what you just sent us to anyone listening?
Please.
So, if I'm not mistaken, it looks like you just sent me a picture of an adult, mature alligator crawling up onto land with most of a shark dangling from its jaws. Like, it's either a smaller than average shark or a much larger than average alligator.
This, as far as I can tell, is a pretty small shark. But it proves that this is a thing that happens in reality. And if you imagined this being a bigger shark, you can imagine the fight being pretty serious. And I not only learned that this is a thing that happens occasionally, but also that there is a whole pie slice of the internet devoted to trying to figure out which animal would win between various apex predators, and the shark versus alligator portion of the internet is not tiny.
I cannot believe I've missed out on this. I feel like I've got something to waste a lot of time on now.
Well, let me waste your time on it.
Let's
first.
Do it.
God, I feel like there's some like dystopian gladiatorial cockfighting world where they pitch apex predators against each other in like a Thunderdome type situation.
Have either of you guys heard of the disaster piece film? I think it's called Money Plane with Kelsey Grammer.
No.
All right. Real quick synopsis to completely derail this basic pitch before we even start it.
Please.
Some criminals figured out that if you just go into the sky, you know, there aren't any laws that pertain to you. So they fly in the air where laws don't apply.
Is that true? I think like aerospace above.
I thought America was very tall.
No. They fly just outside of America's jurisdiction.
Okay. So like over international waters.
So they can bet on ridiculous things like, you know, humans fighting humans, but also like humans fighting bears or bears fighting alligators.
Or alligators fighting Kelsey Grammer.
I feel like I need to point out that I've not seen this movie, but I've seen plenty of clips of Kelsey Grammer just giving 100% to this movie. And like, he's probably, I don't want to say he's like bringing Sir Patrick Stewart vibes to a Muppet movie, but
I will say it is fascinating to look at Kelsey Grammer as Frasier and Kelsey Grammer as anything else he has ever done in his acting career, because it feels like there is such a contrast.
Oh, great news. It is called Money Plane, and it's got a 23% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Amazing.
That's all you need.
Like above 75 on Rotten Tomatoes is really impressive. Below 25 on Rotten Tomatoes is also really impressive.
It's impressive. Yeah, in a whole other way.
There's some metaphor about like coastal cities that you can make, but I don't know what it is.
Well, speaking of coastal cities, Jack.
There we go. Excellent re-railing.
Well, and this is part of my critique of the fact that this movie has not been made. Okay, so things that I learned while reading about the actual Sharknado series. Again, never seen it, but I will say, Jack, your latest basic pitch that you took us through, the live basic pitch that we did, also about sharks, that was mainly about sequel dynamics, played out so well here. You really prepared me for this research, because that thing of like the rules of the universe getting crazier and crazier and things derailing in kind of predictable ways into a few sequels in, you will have magic. A few sequels in, you will have time travel. Like Sharknado starts not in a scientifically sound place by any stretch of the imagination, but it chooses one sci-fi indulgence, which is sharks in the air, and it juices a plot out of that. And then the sequels have like cyborgs and mechs and like ancient orders connected to Stonehenge and the pyramids. So like,
I mean, yeah, when the first film, excuse me for this, but jumps the shark from the get-go, then necessarily the sequels are going to have to be like exponentially more insane to compensate for the fact that the first one started out insane.
You're absolutely right. And I just think there are larger and smaller exponents that you can choose between, because when you go to the second movie, and the second movie doesn't go crazily through the roof, but it does relocate the action from Los Angeles, where I guess first movies always have to happen, to New York. And as it starts to go into threat to the entire United States, it takes the idea of a hurricane blowing sharks ashore in Los Angeles, where one hurricane has hit in the last century. And then it goes over to the same thing happening in New York, skipping places where hurricanes actually happen in between. And you could very easily, with a second installment in this series, have gone from Los Angeles to New Orleans, where not only you would get the twist of people actually knowing how to deal with a hurricane, you'd also be able to pit the apex predator against another apex predator, which is a thing the series never does. They get time travel. They never have like tigers in the air or So they use a disaster that does not happen in LA, where you could have used ones that do and you'd get Char Forest Fire or
earthquakes.
Like earthquark, yes.
Earthquarks.
Oh my God.
So what I'm going to fantasize is that there was actually in the Sharknado universe a plot thread that happened in New Orleans, but that the cameras just weren't rolling. So in the actual second installment in the series, the main characters are going to New York to apply their Sharknado expertise to the problem as it arises over there. I can imagine a scene where those characters are about to head to New York from LA. They've heard that there's a Sharknado problem over there. And then they hear another news forecast saying, by the way, at the same time, a hurricane is striking New Orleans. And it's turned out to be a rare split hurricane. And it divides in two. And this hurricane pushes into the city from either side. And there are science and plot reasons for it to do this. And
science and plot reasons. You really only need plot reasons, honestly. But
you don't need science reasons. You just need to cut over to like the local lore expert, like with glasses, who goes, well, according to, and then just throw in gobbledygook science, and then cut to someone saying, English doctor. And he goes, there's going to be two of them. And then that's...
Well, let me call these then plot convenient science reasons, because even in the real world, the reason alligators and sharks don't encounter each other regularly is because alligators are freshwater animals and sharks are saltwater animals. And the two relatively rarely meet, other than in extreme weather events. And I actually found an incredible account from like 1877 of an extreme weather event that actually made this happen. So setting aside the plot of Sharknado versus Hurricane for a second, in this admittedly like not from a golden age of journalism article, and this is from Florida, there was a big storm that blew a bunch of like saltwater fish into the mouths of some freshwater streams, where naturally a bunch of hungry alligators congregated and just like ate to their heart's content. But then the same storm came further inland and caused a ton of rain that swelled those streams and just like splooshed all of those alligators and all of those dead fish and all of that blood out into the larger body of salt water where there are sharks who react to blood. And so these sharks come swarming in, and you actually have like an army of alligators against an army of sharks. And you get a real world, maybe, event where you get to see what happens. And of course, the internet is very interested in who the winner is. And this article ends with like a badass image that I will paraphrase, which is that there were just bodies of both washing ashore in huge numbers, and only winners were the vultures.
Oh my gosh.
Damn.
Right?
Like, journalists, even if they didn't necessarily adhere to fact all the time in the 1800s, at least knew how to convey drama.
Rule of cool was alive and well.
It reminds me of, speaking of just apex predators, it reminds me of this story also from Florida about, I think, an anaconda that ate an alligator whole, but the alligator was so big that the anaconda exploded, so they both just died, which feels like the inevitable result of two apex predators coming together, so they just annihilate each other.
Yeah. So there are real scientific reasons why alligators and sharks would not be coming into the city from the same places. And if you do a split hurricane thing, then you can have the plot convenient arrangement of them being driven ashore into different parts of the city.
So it's like a West Bank versus
North Shore kind of, or like Lakeview.
I love the idea that if I understand the science of the first movie correctly, the hurricane formed, drew the sharks out of the water, and then proceeded to move over shore and deposit them in little tornado cyclone things, which means that if this hurricane were to split into twin hurricanes, at one point it picked up all the sharks and gators at the same time. And then as it split, it just like intelligently separated them all into two.
It's like a centrifuge that you use in blood testing to separate out.
Well, I bet like alligators and sharks have like different densities. And so depending on the air pressure, they get like separated off into two parts of the storm.
I was really thinking the split hurricane picks them up separately from separate places.
No, this is way funnier.
Fine. God, now I know how a Hollywood scriptwriter feels. My art is being taken from me.
We have to explain. This is what the people are going to want to know in the first 10 minutes. Secondly, it would be such a missed opportunity if you don't also have this happening during some version of Mardi Gras.
Absolutely. It's February and there's a hurricane. Yes. For anyone not familiar with the New Orleans context here, all this inside baseball, Mardi Gras and hurricane season are basically at opposite ends of the year. There's no world in which they would overlap. Except this world. So
yeah,
we also could absolutely just have the city celebrating the annual hurricane season parade. Like, we could make it be a parade about anything.
I'm surprised we don't have a hurricane season parade, like to kick off hurricane season. It's the kind of sort of ironic, satirical jab that New Orleanians love.
So yeah, basically this movie starts with the protagonists of film one and film two, where this is ostensibly film 1.5.
Love it.
Hearing this news forecast saying a hurricane is hitting, a sharknado is coming ashore from one side, and it's splitting and going around the city and sending in a hurricane from the other side. And at first, when they hear about the sharknado, they're like, oh, maybe we should stop in New Orleans and see if we can apply our expertise there. It's on the way to New York. But then they hear about the hurricane and they're like, oh, no, we have no idea what to do. Let's let the honkies fend for themselves. So they fly to New York. Their saga continues there. And New Orleans has to fend for itself. And that's the beginning. And our newscaster says, gators and sharks are closing around the city like twin jaws. And we enter into the local stuff there.
The idea that they're flying from Los Angeles to New York and they're like, well, New Orleans is on the way. I love the idea that, yes, we will draw like an Indiana Jones style version of the plane like going, and we'll have like the exact midpoint between these two is New Orleans. And then we'll cut to the outside of the plane where they're deciding like, nope, we're going to skip this one, and shows the plane swerving, just barely missing two cyclones. And swerving between them.
Yes.
Missing both by inches, and then proceeding to New
Just
York.
Just an alligator and a shark slamming into each other in midair.
They're both snapping at the wings as if.
Yeah.
I mean, you laugh, but the second one, their plane gets shark intercepted on the way. You cannot get more ridiculous than these movies are.
Take that as a challenge.
I will just say the human plot involves one of the characters' hands gets bitten off, and it's the main characters are an estranged couple. And later on, she gets a chainsaw attachment and she like attacks sharks with it. And eventually her ex-husband finds and eviscerates the shark who ate her hand, finds her hand, pulls the old wedding ring off of it, and proposes to her with it. Like, that is the plot.
I'm disappointed by two things. First, that I didn't see these movies. Second, that I didn't get to help write them. But I hope that whoever did write it had the foresight of putting in, like, her saying yes, and then him trying to put the ring onto the chainsaw. And then, like, a Lord of the Rings moment where, like, one ring fits every hand and it works.
Also, it occurs to me that this plot does actually fall into like the sequel paradigm that y'all kind of touched on in the last basic pitch about the Jaws series. And that is like franchise mashing. In this case, there's not specifically a Hergator franchise, but it has very much like an Alien versus Predator kind of vibe to it.
Alien versus Predator had one of the best taglines, or maybe it was Freddy versus Jason. I don't know which one it was, but either way, great tagline, did not actually live up to it. And that was, whoever wins, we lose.
That is, oh wow, that is a very good tagline.
And in both of those movies, one of them won, but it was fine. Everything worked out.
Well, this brings me to, okay, so the two bits of this movie that I have a vision for are the beginning and the end. Where
that's all you need, really.
The beginning is really the setup, and we can go much further if y'all want to into what it looks like for gators and sharks to invade the French Quarter.
Someone fights off an alligator with a king cake.
But obviously, like, the title confrontation between or the gators and the sharks, or if you like, the like mega shark and the uber gator, has to happen and has to be like the big final confrontation. And I'm imagining a lot of the plot of the movie is probably people trying to like get federal help, like send in the feds, bring in the army, something like that. And it just doesn't happen. And so they arrange for the sharks and the gators to fight each other instead of fighting the humans. But a scientist is like, it has to happen over Lake Pontchartrain, because Lake Pontchartrain is salty on one side and fresh on the other. Yeah. And so it's like neutral territory for them. And for some reason, we have the main characters get like rowed out onto Lake Pontchartrain in like a pirogue by like an old man in hurricane winds.
I love that we have to be here for this. It's important.
Absolutely. Yes. Some maneuver has to be done by people who are there in person.
I got you covered. If unless you got an idea, I'm ready with one. It's pretty stupid.
The stupid idea I have, which might marry up with some other stupid ideas nicely, is that we find ourselves rooting for the Uber Gator because it's the local.
You gotta cheer for the home team.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the way, like, the hurricane ends up re-merging above Lake Pontchartrain. So at first they're fighting in the water and the Uber Gator is winning because that's its home field. But then they get pulled into the air. And the alligators are shallow water predators. And so the shark is like coming up at it from underneath and it's going to eviscerate it. And we're like, no, Uber Gator. But then at the last moment, when it's been wounded and it's hurt, the Cajun boatman, all of these movies end in huge explosions. And I think maybe here the answer is for the Cajun boatman to somehow get something really spicy into the shark's mouth. And we know non-locals can't take spicy food. So the shark like vomits out its innards and the gator is finally able to finish it off. And then the gator, which is wounded, spends the rest of its life at the Audubon Zoo or something.
Oh, my God.
That's mine.
There's some version of like, we just need to get the Tabasco plant out there into the middle of Lake Pontchartrain, and then like,
yes,
this wonderful moment where like they're blowing up the side of the Tabasco plant, so it just gently slides off into the lake, because in this version of New Orleans, the Tabasco plant is
in New Orleans.
Yeah. It's also being like barely propped up by a few loose boards.
And what's happened is the Tabasco plant has been dumping excess waste into the local swamps. So the alligators have been like acclimated to the Tabasco, but the,
yes,
sharks haven't.
Oh my God.
And
yes.
So it gives the alligators the edge that they need to win.
I love that. First of all, the idea that like they're fighting in the water and that's the alligator's home field advantage, but then they go into the air and that's the shark's home field advantage.
Naturally.
Love that.
I mean, from the fact that Sharknadoes take over the world in the course of this franchise, I think we can conclude that pretty safely.
Yeah, it's where they were always meant to be.
I had a slightly different picture of the Let Them Fight finale, but I think it actually does marry up with your idea pretty nicely. So I think we need to have like this local scientist character who can like, you know, bleep bloop and gorbly doop and like explain things scientifically with just science bullshit. And we're just going to keep him. He's also probably going to be like wearing overalls. He's got a straw hat and he's got something out of his mouth all the time, like a weed. Anyway, he's going to explain what we should be doing is making both of them stronger. So he's got like all of this toxic waste and human growth hormone stuff. And everyone's like, no, no, we want to hurt them. He's like, no, no, you want to make them both really beefed up and ripped. So he's like this, got this cocktail of steroids and whatever. And he shoots
protein
a
powder
missile into both hurricanes. And this causes both of them to form into singular mecha monsters. So you got 8 million sharks are suddenly Voltroning into one giant shark, and then you got 8 million hurrigators Voltroning into the mega gator, and then you just have these titans fighting.
Yeah, like a kaiju type battle over Lake Pontchartrain.
And then he's like underneath them all in the little Piro, like, yep, that's exactly what I intended to have happen. And
So I want to add a little something. This is going a bit out of order, which is pretty traditional for basic pitches. But we've covered the beginning. We've covered the end. But it feels like there's a lot of potential in the middle that I'd like to kind of delve into a little bit. Because inevitably, the beginning is the hurricane split. You have the Hurricanator and the Sharknado. And they're converging. And what would happen is you would have the Hurricanator on one side, the Sharknado on the other. And initially, it's humans against sharks and humans against alligators. And you have like the New Orleanians trying to fight against this invading force. And you have such an interesting mix of people in and around New Orleans. So you'd have like the inner city New Orleanians who are fighting in their way. And then you also have like the like near Lake Pontchartrain, North Shore type folks who are much more like country folks who are fighting in their way with their boats and shotguns and what have you. And I think that the humans would do surprisingly well, that we would like band together and like Cajun Navy style, just like fight against all odds against this overwhelming disaster. And
there would be so many people cooking and eating both of them as they go too.
Yeah, yes.
Shark gumbo all the way. Yes. Shark
We're
fin gumbo.
Good tonight.
I'm picturing like a Cajun man in like on an airboat, like in the air being like, them's good hunting sharks.
And just like a revenge thing there, like, you ate my brother, now I'm gonna eat you.
Absolutely. And just some like ridiculous hijinks. I'm imagining a shark like getting stuck in the bell of a tuba and the guy like blowing on it really hard and the shark like launching back out and hitting an alligator and exploding.
Like a fireball explosion.
Yeah.
I was like, we gotta have a jazz band somewhere, and I did not quite land on how. That's beautiful.
And they'd like attack, like necessarily there'd be this parade going on, the hurricane season parade or whatever it ends up being. And initially they're like wreaking havoc, but then the people come together and start fighting against the sharks or the alligators, whichever it is. And so they're using like their Mardi Gras catches, like the beads, which is like chucking beads at sharks, and all like the little majorettes on the drum line that get together and start beating a shark with their little batons.
Oh my gosh. All the floats can somehow actually have to float. Like maybe instead of the Piro starts sinking and they're like, don't worry, we got you covered. And there's just a whole bunch, like all of the floats from the parade just go into the water and form like a chain to get to them, to rescue them.
I would love like a character who's sort of like a washed up Mardi Gras bead hurler. And he's like, that's all I'm good at. And this is like the moment when he's got to like bring back his talent.
I spend my life hurling Mardi Gras beads. That is no longer a skill that I can monetize. And then they're like picturing this old man getting his other, like his crew back together for one last job.
Well, it's, if you've ever been to a Mardi Gras parade in New Orleans, you know that if, you always have to pay attention to the floats while you're at the parade, because if you don't, you're at risk of getting like pegged by something. And so because they don't just throw beads at Mardi Gras, and even when they are throwing beads, sometimes they'll throw literally just an entire bag full of beads at your face. And so you always have to be aware. And so like some of the Mardi Gras crews, like the crew of Zulu, they throw actual coconuts at people.
Yeah, and the St. Patrick's Day parade, they were throwing entire heads of cabbage.
And so you can definitely see like an entire parade of people throwing some kind of lethal object at these invading animals.
Oh my. So I just pictured this idea of like this one guy who's been in prison for 30 years because he was the most deadly bead thrower in the world, and like they bring him out and he's like all chained up like El Duce from Boondock Saints or something, and they're like, we need your help throwing beads at these sharks so you can earn your freedom and your forgiveness, and this will be your redemption arc. And then he has to like, of course, probably he's flying through the sky just throwing things and gets eaten by a shark, and that is his like grand sacrifice. You know, put a little emotional heft into the story. Like, make the people cry like he did. He earned his... He killed 80 people with Mardi Gras beads before they finally caught him.
And his name is Rex.
Rex!
Yeah. Sorry to anybody for whom there are too many New Orleans in jokes here.
Yes.
Just think
Rex
how the
works
rest of
on
us...
multiple levels because also he wrecks with those beads.
That's right. Yeah. The rest of us put up with a lot of LA and New York in jokes. So local in jokes from other cities must be tolerated periodically. Yeah. I mean, so many charming local flavor things we can do. I think a newscaster out in the rain being like, I think we have over here a speckled great white shark from the patterning on its face. And it's just covered in like beignet powdered sugar or an alligator going
down. He
walks
over, he like rubs his finger on it and tastes it and like, nope. That's just
cocaine. Just get Cocaine Bear in there as well somehow.
Cocaine Bear in there. Well, I was thinking earlier on, I didn't want to overcomplicate an already complicated story here, but, you know, of the apex predators that terrify me, Louisiana is also home to some particularly nasty black bears, which are among the least bad of the bears, but they're still pretty scary. If you could get an entire hurricane that sucks up all the grizzly bears and then hits a cocaine factory and sucks up all the cocaine.
Yeah, or just like a cartel plane, like gets caught up in the hurricane and the cocaine just gets dispersed into the hurricane.
Y'all are really invested in this cocaine storyline. If we're going to hope for any funding from the New Orleans Convention and Visitors Bureau, they are going to hard veto this cocaine storyline.
So if you want one more level of ridiculousness, this plot would not work with the rest of the plot we went with. But if you wanted an alternate plot, instead of having them fight at the end, you could almost do like a West Side Story or Romeo and Juliet, where like one of the sharks falls in love with one of the gators and they just have to get over their differences and just team up to kill the humans. And it ends with a wedding.
Yeah, they get married at the French Quarter Chapel where Ride or Die takes place.
And you just see a few zombies in the street just to say this is all happening in the same universe.
This definitely has the potential to branch off into its own line of spinoff sequels that totally diverges from the Sharknado line. We could have every different type of local flora and fauna end up in a hurricane.
The Hurry yes. Capybara would be the least scary because they would just be like, they would land and then they would just be like, what's
here
up?
Here I am.
Yeah.
This is where I live now.
We are cultivating a whole opposite of stakes creep. We're like, how low can we get the stakes in the sequels? Let's go from the fate of the world to a love story to will this capybara be able to stand back up?
That happens remarkably often with things that starting out are nowhere near a children's TV show.
You're right. Beetlejuice, for one, was on like Kids Network, the cartoon where like Beetlejuice and Lydia were friends. And like, that was my introduction to the universe too. I didn't realize that was not the Beetlejuice from the movies.
The Godzilla movies, like the first Godzilla movie is harrowing. And it's like a metaphor for like the nuclear anxiety. Yeah. And then within like two movies, it's already like a kid's series. And then they had like a cartoon TV show later on and everything else. So it became like kid friendly just immediately.
Like, even Freddy Krueger had a rap video.
Yeah, this feels like, honestly, potential for a whole other basic pitch.
Oh my God, that's it. Yes, we're going to have to do Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas turns into a kids' TV show for the next.
Yeah, like, what is, like, the least likely thing? Like, the human centipede turned into... Oh. How does that transition into...
And then there's, like, a little plush of a little centipede, and, like... Requiem for a Dream.
Let's make this. I will run with this. I will make this next week's.
I say we'll stop right here. We'll leave that preview, and it'll be a surprise. Whatever you come up with, I can't wait.
Cool. Okay, next week. Cool.